It is Thursday. It's our thought leader conversation this morning. In with us this morning is Associated Bank's Rod Murray. He's the group SVP for commercial banking, head of the leveraged finance group there at Associated Bank. And we welcome him in this morning to the opening bell. Rod, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, I guess it's a good morning because, you know, a lot of people are kind of stressed out this week after the Equifax announcement that the breach, 143 million people, 5.4 million of them in Illinois. What's the first thing that we should be thinking about as consumers to all of this? Locking down our credit, is that what we should be doing?
That's what I'm doing. So it's the first thing that this consumer is thinking about is locking down your credit, knowing what that means to you once you do it. As you just said, it's 143 million. That's on the first pass. It could be more. The chances are that you have to assume that even if you haven't checked it, that you're probably affected. So locking down the credit is what I'm doing right now and have started to do.
We've talked about security a lot here in our thought leader conversations. I'm just kind of curious to get your view about the size and scope of what we've seen happen with Equifax from the inside, from somebody who works in the banking industry. How big is this? How bad is it?
This is going to be with you for the rest of your life and probably a little bit after. So it's that big. It's you see the lawsuits piling up. I think at last check there's 30. That's just the beginning on the civil lawsuits. And then for what about your day-to-day? So I'm going to freeze my credit. Now I'm, you know, in my 50s, so I'm not out actively getting credit, but anytime you do, you have to unfreeze it. From an employer standpoint or even from that standpoint, anytime you switch jobs, one of the things that most employers do is pull a credit bureau. That's going to be an issue. So you have to know how to thaw it or unfreeze it, but it's going to be a big piece. Who knows where it ends up? I can't even fathom the dollar amount of what will happen when this is all said and done.
You know, yesterday on the program, we talked a little bit about with one of the security experts about it, talking about this could be a $1 trillion problem or more for Equifax that could bankrupt that company if, you know, everybody sues them and the damages. You figure 143 million people, some of those are probably going to have their credit stolen and some stuff bad is going to happen to them. We could see Equifax out of business.
Certainly could. I mean, $1 trillion, is that number high, low, medium? I mean, who knows? That's a guess at this point, but that's a big number. And is that even the right number? Knowing that, again, they have everything. They have your Social Security number. They have your driver's license in some cases. I mean, this is with Equifax, it's not that we're clients. I mean, this is their product. So it's everything. It's not just a client-centric thing. It's the product that they deliver. So it affects everything almost that's touched out there. There's no way to get credit, usually to get a job, et cetera, without having your credit bureau pulled.
You mentioned earlier this is something that's going to follow us through life. Let's remind people what you can do, what a criminal can do with your Social Security number, your driver's license, all of your personal information. But the Social Security number is the big one.
It's absolutely the biggest one. It's our the identifier. That's the one thing that's so unique to you. It ties to your retirement, to your Social Security benefits. Every employer needs to have it. It's the main thing when you're doing applying for credit and people are checking out what you've done. It's the one unique identifier that never changes, that everybody has to have. So it follows you for your entire life. And if somebody compromises that, you know, they can repeat or they can take your identity. And I have had my identity stolen. It was a long time ago, and some checkbooks stolen. And boy, you talk about some work to get that corrected and to get out of that. Is this snowballs today with the amount of technology and the sophistication of these hackers? You know, who knows what it could happen?
Yeah, let's talk about a couple things on fixing, at least protecting yourself. I guess I should say not fixing. You mentioned the freeze part of it, but going through the motions of having credit fraud reporting. Sort of that's going to be kind of temporary, though, isn't it? I mean, these are Social Security numbers, and some of that stuff only lasts for like a month or a year. That'll kind of be out of date, won't it?
Right. There's a couple levels. There's the monitoring piece of it, which has a shorter sunset period to it than the freeze. And depending on what state you live on, state you live in, the monitoring period might only be a year or so, and then you extend it, which you'll want to do. The freeze lasts a little bit longer, and I believe, say, in certain cases, it can be 7 years. It might be plus or minus. But when you do that, just the one thing is making sure you do it with all three. There's three different. It's not just Equifax. There's Experian and TransUnion as well. You need to do all three on anything that you're doing. One doesn't protect you.
I heard somebody recently comparing this these three companies to too big to fail. These are too big to have all of our data. Is that a good argument? I mean, have we set up these three companies to have too much information about us without enough regulation?
Good question on whether or not the three are created an oligopoly or the too big to fail. Maybe, but to the second point, certainly seems it's unregulated, and that's going to change for sure now. I think there's already a lot of there had been discussion of that, and now what happens? That the regulation didn't get in. It'll probably come fast and quickly on what regulations need to come in. But it's too little too late at this point. That being said, I'm talking about everybody that has it now. We have to protect those in the future, our kids, our grandkids, on how they're going to apply for credit and how it's going to be monitored and protected.
You talked about how you're freezing your credit reports. I think I'm going to do the same thing. Does that mean that we can't use credit anymore? Let's talk about that in more depth. Will our credit score still be checked? Will we still, if we're using credit cards, will all that continue? What are the ins and outs of that?
Right. So it shouldn't affect your day-to-day use of your credit cards. It shouldn't affect your day-to-day life in any way, shape, or form. What it changes, though, is you have to remember if you're going to apply for a new car loan or a mortgage or, again, looking for a new job where the application taker is going to pull a credit bureau on you, you have to know how to unfreeze or thaw that for that period of time and then know how to refreeze your credit once that action or that takes place.
Each time, I think you get a PIN number,
right,
and then you can go in and undo it. But each time, that's probably going to cost money, isn't it?
It is right now, and that's a topic for another discussion, is should it cost money? I mean, right now, I'm certainly going to pay it to protect, penny-wise, pound foolish. But what will happen with all of these lawsuits and the finality of this? Will those fees be waived? Will they be reduced or not? But right now, it's money that I'm going to spend in order to protect.
All of the indications are the fees are going to be less than $50 at each of those companies. You just said you've gone through this. I'm guessing it's more expensive to deal with the aftermath of this problem than pay $50.
Absolutely. Yeah, the aftermath of it is your time. Your time, the embarrassment of it, the headache, the reestablishment. If you get your credit stolen or your identity stolen and that happens, you start getting on collection lists and, the trickle-down effect is way more expensive than the $50 or thereabouts.
Yeah. Have you did you go in and plug in your name in the Equifax website? Is that how you figured out?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I plugged in my name, my wife's name, and we both were shown as being affected. And then there's another, you get a notice that you will be notified when you can then get your free credit monitoring, several days later.
Probably shouldn't wait for that to happen, though.
No, yeah. That's like I say, we're going right for the full freeze on all three reporting agencies.
Well, this is something we're going to stay tuned on. I'm glad we have your experience and knowledge on this, because I think it's something we'll probably be coming back to. A connected story. I don't know if you're ready to buy the new $1,000 iPhone or not. Are you going to be standing in line at the Apple store for this? But this kind of applies to how we do security in some cases, especially if we're doing mobile banking. This new iPhone, the iPhone 10, will have facial recognition technology that'll enable you to unlock it without actually putting in a passcode. That seems like danger if you have banking and money apps on your phone.
Right. It's interesting. Think if we were having this conversation, if they'd released this 2 weeks ago or, any time prior to the announcement of the what we just got done discussing with the breach, we would be probably leaning more towards what a great thing, this technology, its progress, its advancement. But now you do have to sit back and do what you just asked, say, or what are the protections? Who would have thought that, 15 years ago, we'd be talking about biometric authentication? For accessing your money. But with that advancement and with that convenience comes the risks. So facial recognition, recognition of from your eyes, fingerprints, palms, that all comes with inherent risks on not just getting your identity or your ATM pin where things can be limited, that kind of thing can wipe out an account, investment account, checking account, if somebody is able to figure out a way to compromise that in some devious way or a criminal way.
So from the banking industry looking out at this, does it concern you that, this new technology is there? Are you and others in your industry going to require different access protocols to get into some of these apps? And is that something you'd want to see?
So I think that you can't, as I said, you can't stop the progress of it, and the demand is still there.
Right.
And there was already a lot of work being done on the protections and the authentications. So how much more is it ramped up? How do you give your consumer the protections that they need? Probably a little more detail, a little more time is being spent with that, but it exists now in certain betas out there. I mean, it's already out there a little bit, even on both the consumer and even the commercial side or the business side, with in some beta testing on recognition through the eyes or through the fingerprint. Mm-hmm. on doing it. So it's coming, and I don't think we can stop that. And I don't think we want to stop it. You don't want to stop progress, and you have to service the clients and what they want and the demand. But where will the protections be vis-a-vis this most recent hacking and in a long term to protect the consumer from violating, the integrity of their data?
It's science fiction becoming reality, because I don't think any of us have not seen a movie where the NSA headquarters or the secret lair has the facial recognition or the retina or the fingerprint. If it's safe enough for the secret lair, I mean, what are we worried about? I kid
sorry.
There. But,
right. Yeah. I mean, so that's just it. And again, I'm not on the tech side of things. Why don't we share? Why don't we copy whatever the government's doing? There's nobody that has better security, has better standards in place. So I'm hoping that there's some sharing that can happen on how you protect that. That being said, even that we've seen right in the past that there's certain ways that things on the in the government can be hacked as well. Everybody's constantly after your information, whether it's us as consumers, businesses, our government, and it's a probably billion, but over time, that's a multi-trillion-dollar spend, over the next several years to combat the hackers.
I would guess that discussion of the security protocols and this sort of thing is probably one or two in your daily discussions, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's not right. I deal on the commercial side in the middle market space, so there's nothing that when we talk to our clients, and whether it's as a business user or down to the consumer level, is make sure that you're doing everything you can to protect yourself. And then internally at our bank, certainly at Associated, and I can say at every bank, it is one of the highest spends. It is one of the highest focus points, and people-wise, it's probably the biggest asset user of people, certainly from a growth standpoint.
And I think it was you, or maybe it was one of our other thought leaders, that said that in the grand scheme of things, it is still safer than carrying wads of money around with you in your wallet, isn't it? This digital currency, the digital transfer of money back and forth.
Right. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, yes. Right. It's like that. We want protections on everything. It's like that person that says that they won't fly because, oh my gosh, the plane might crash. Every statistic shows that that's safer, but you still want all the protections you can because it's something that's different, and it's going to be in the news. And if somebody gets their wad of cash stolen, it's not going to hit the headlines as much as if there's a data breach and your security piece goes out there. It's some of it's just that piece, but overall, it is still safer.
Rod, good conversation. I'll see you in the secret lair.
All right. Thanks, Steve. We'll see you there.
Rod Murray is the SVP for Commercial Banking, head of the Leveraged Finance Group at Associated Bank. It's our weekly thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And you can also listen to all of the conversations, too. Head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership for all of our thought leaders there.